Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. The information we present is taken from the writings of Benjamin Krem, a disciple of a Master of Wisdom, and also from teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. We include teachings from many schools of thought to demonstrate how they are working out in the world. Our articles are often inspiring. We hope to inform the public of actions taken around the globe to improve conditions for us all and to find means of addressing some of our most pressing problems.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to have you with us again on this lovely Friday. And I'll start with talking about Share International magazine. Benjamin Krem's master provided articles to be published not only at the time they were written, but also whenever appropriate according to world circumstances. Indeed, many of these articles seem more relevant now than when they were first published. Now, we present here an article written in 1985, which describes how, in the immediate time ahead, men will come to know the Masters of Wisdom as their friends and allies on the long path of evolution, as their guides and mentors in an expanding awareness of the plan they serve, and as their guarantee of future and like achievement. And this is titled The Knower's Return. Seldom in the world history has there been a time like the present, a time of such convulsive change and promise for man. Once again, in the turning of the great wheel, man is about to discover a new meaning and purpose behind the outer manifestations of his life and to renew contact with the source of all his wisdom and inspiration. After long and due preparation, the ancient body of knowers, the spiritual hierarchy, is returning to the world of men, ready to implant there the seeds of knowledge and truth, which will take men to the heights from which the gods smile down.
In the immediate time ahead, men will come to know the Masters of Wisdom as their friends and allies on the long path of evolution, as their guides and mentors in an expanding awareness of the plan they serve, and as their guarantee of future and like achievement. At the present time, the Masters are gathering their forces for the onslaught on tyranny and greed, exploitation and want. They know that not all men are ready for the changes which must ensue, but they know too that most men by far desire a new dimension of life and are ready for the deeds and sacrifices which will bring it into being. They will not be slow to respond to the counsel of the great ones. Make ready to see them and to answer their call. Make ready to act and to aid them in their task. Make ready, too, for the stream of new light, new life, and new knowledge which will flow from them into the world. Thus will all be changed. Thus will the old be swept away and a new era begin. Thus will the teachers revitalize men's lives and create the conditions for the emergence of a new man. The new man will demonstrate his allegiance to the truth that humanity is one, held together by the force of love itself, by his tolerance and harmlessness, his correct relation to all the kingdoms. The new man will be known by his capacity for right action, intuitively understood, by his ability to interpret rightly the will of God. Thus will gradually emerge the God who sits within the heart of all men, potential, waiting to be called into manifestation by the actions of man himself.
The key to this development lies in a growing working relationship between the Masters and men. From this will grow a bond so deep that naught can sever it, creating thus a channel for the gifts of wisdom, love, and knowledge, which are the Master's to bestow. Their divinity will call forth the divine in man, and men will discover they have been forever gods. All of this will not happen in a day, but slowly and surely the divine in men will respond to the fire of divine love and wisdom which radiates from the Masters. They will gather round that fire and find among the flames the reflection of their future. So will it be, for so it has been decreed by the Lord of Life himself. Shortly now the Masters will be seen and known for what they are, the guides and teachers of the race of men, the elder brothers of humanity, the knowers in whose hands lie the destiny of the world. Welcome them into your midst and be prepared to serve with them. Be generous with your offering of service and become their co-workers. Know that they know the way and will take you with them to the gates of freedom.
Okay, so our next article was published in the September 2018 issue of Share International magazine in the Point of View section, and it's titled, "The Growth-Driven Economic Model We Have Adopted is Killing Our Planet," and it's by Jason Hickel. The crowds of protesters that confronted US President Donald Trump during his visit to London in July 2018 have channeled the world's outrage at all that he represents. But despite this opposition, Trump's base is expanding. Even those who balk at his regressive positions, his racism, his misogyny, divisiveness, are willing to hold their noses and line up behind him. Why? Because of his promises to deliver growth. Politicians rise and fall on their ability to grow the GDP. It doesn't matter what it takes, whether it's ripping up environmental protections, gutting labor laws, or fracking for cheap oil. If you achieve growth, you win. This is only the beginning. As we bump up against the limits of growth, market saturation, resource depletion, climate change, politicians will become increasingly aggressive in their pursuit of it. People like Trump will proliferate because everyone knows that we need growth.
And if the economy doesn't keep expanding by at least 2% or 3% a year in developed countries, it collapses into crisis. Debts can't be repaid, firms go bust, people lose their jobs. The global economy has been designed in such a way that it needs to grow just to stay afloat. We are all hostages to growth and hostages to those who promise it. This is a massive problem because growth is tightly linked to environmental degradation. Growth of 3% may not sound like much, but it means doubling the size of the economy every 20 years, doubling the number of cars, smartphones, air miles, that is, doubling the waste. Scientists tell us that we have already exceeded key planetary boundaries, and we can see the consequences all around us. Deforestation, biodiversity collapse, resource wars, and climate change. The good news is that it doesn't have to be this way. We can choose to create an economy that doesn't require endless growth and thus take the wind out of the sails of politicians like Trump. In fact, it's already happening. Scholars and activists around the world are building the foundations for post-growth economics. The first step is to challenge the myth that growth is required by society. Economists and politicians tell us that we need growth in order to boost people out of poverty. But of all the new income generated by growth, only 5% goes to the poorest 60% of humanity. Growth is an extremely inefficient and ecologically insane way of improving people's lives. We can end poverty much more quickly, without any growth at all, simply by distributing existing income more fairly. This is the core principle of a post-growth economy. Equity is the antidote to growth. There are lots of ideas about how to get there. We could introduce a global minimum wage and strengthen international labour laws. We could put a maximum cap on income and wealth. We could encourage and even subsidise worker-owned cooperatives so wealth and power are distributed more equally.
But we also need to do something about our structural dependence on growth. For example, capitalism has a built-in incentive to increase labour productivity, to squeeze more value out of workers' time. But as productivity improves, workers get laid off and unemployment rises. To solve this crisis, governments have to find ways to generate more growth to create more jobs. There are proven ways to escape this vicious cycle. We could introduce a shorter working week, as Sweden has just done, sharing necessary labour so that everyone can have access to employment without the need for perpetual growth. Or we could ease off on the labour requirement altogether by rolling out a universal basic income funded by progressive taxes on carbon, resource extraction and financial transactions. Another reason our economy has to grow is because of debt. Debt comes with interest, and interest is a compound function. Individuals, companies, and states have to grow their output simply in order to pay down their debts. We can escape this cycle by cancelling unjust or unpayable debts, maybe using citizen debt audits, which would help liberate us from the growth imperative. We could also shift to new monetary systems that don't have debt and interest built into them from the very start.
In order to help us get back within planetary boundaries, we could introduce new rules that limit the total amount of resources that we consume and waste we produce, much like we have done with the CO2 emissions, so that we never extract more than the Earth can replenish or pollute more than our ecosystems can safely absorb. And of course, we can choose to get rid of GDP as our primary indicator of economic success and embrace saner, more holistic measures like the Genuine Progress Indicator, GPI, which accounts for the negative ecological and social impacts of economic activity. Countries as diverse as Bhutan, Scotland, Slovenia, Costa Rica and New Zealand are already embracing alternative measures. When politicians are told to pursue something like GPI instead of GDP, they are incentivized to maximize social goods and minimize ecological bads. All of these ideas would help us transition away from the growth at all costs model and overthrow the tyranny of growth-obsessed politicians. We have a choice to make as a civilization. Either we prioritize growth, or we prioritise life. We cannot do both. If we are going to survive the Anthropocene, it will be because we create post-growth economies that allow us to flourish in harmony with this beautiful and generous planet we call home. And all of this was actually spoken about in Al Jazeera, English and Common Dreams, earlier this year.
So our next article is on quite a different subject, also published in the September issue of Share International magazine. For many years, crop circles have taken a good portion of the photo section of the magazine, and we would like to present a piece on that subject. It's by someone called William Allen. The 2018 crop circle, or crop formation season, is almost over. By the end of July, UK websites called Temporary Temples and Crop Circle Connector had posted dozens of reports of formations, mainly in southern England, but also in Switzerland, France, Russia and the Czech Republic. Benjamin Krem wrote many times about the phenomenon in past issues of the magazine and in several books, especially one titled The Gathering of the Forces of Light. According to Mr. Krem, the majority of crop formations are created by spacecraft from neighbouring planets, mainly Mars and Venus, using an extraordinarily advanced technology. The formations serve a twofold purpose. Firstly, they are calling cards of the beings in the spacecraft to acknowledge their presence subtly and beautifully without infringing our free will. The crop formations are also vortexes of energy that are being created not just in European grain but around the world to replicate on the physical plane the grid of the Earth's magnetic field. This is, from our understanding, in preparation for a new technology called the technology of light that will be developed once we have put our house in order through the implementation of Maitreya's priorities, ensuring a stable and peaceful world. Among other advances, it will give us safe, non-polluting, free, unlimited energy for all our needs.
For decades, the majority of formations have appeared in the southwest of England, subtly alluding to the fact of Maitreya's presence in London, his point of focus. As for the symbolism and meaning of the myriad designs, Benjamin Krem wrote in actually August 1991, they are all ideograms, and if you were familiar with the ideography of ancient Atlantis, you would recognize some of them. They are not meant to be recognized as to their meaning, but that they do have a meaning, and many people will intuit these. They are a reminder of the ancient connection with the Space Brothers. But there have been UK formations in which the symbolism was directly related to specific happenings. In April 2009, a large formation resembling a radiating star appeared in a canola, that is oilseed rape, field near Avebury, Wiltshire, England. Benjamin Krem's master confirmed it was a sign of the presence in our skies of Maitreya's star, the star-like luminary, a huge specialised spacecraft heralding Maitreya's imminent appearance on US television. That was published in June 2009. In July 2010, a pentagonal pattern with a large central star appeared in Wheat, again in Wiltshire. Benjamin Krem's master confirmed it was a deliberate reference to Maitreya's ongoing television appearances, which began in January 2010.
And in July 2017, a 400-foot diameter rendering of Metatron's cube, which is a sacred geometrical symbol that includes a large star within a circle, was discovered in a field near Clay Hill, which is in Warminster, England. Although it did not have the seal of approval of Mr. Krem's master, as by that time, of course, Mr. Krem had passed away, Benjamin Krem had previously confirmed in Share International magazine that Maitreya is Metatron. These three formations have a significant element in common, the star. As Benjamin Krem wrote, this is back in July, August 2009, the star is symbolically the sign of the Son of Man. And once again, it has appeared in the fields. On 7th July this year, an amazingly complex formation was discovered near Martinsill Hill in Wiltshire. We could see it as symbolising the star of Maitreya the Christ. Maitreya is among us as leader of the spiritual hierarchy, the large principal star of the formation, interconnected with and containing his group, the Masters of Wisdom.
The Masters could be said to be five-pointed stars themselves, since as the Master Dwal Kul, DK, tells us, the star is of the perfected man in all his glory, and that's from one of his books. And we've got a series of three more quotes that come from DK's books. Maitreya is among us too, as teacher and guide, as humanity steps onto the path of conscious spiritual evolution, and the way. The way for them is to develop the fifth principle or mind, and thus become true sons of mind. It is their part to become the five-pointed star. This involves the taking of initiations, expansions of consciousness and awareness, at which Maitreya is the initiator for the first two. Again, the five-pointed star is the sign and symbol of initiation and finally of perfected man. Perhaps the formation is also meant to reassure us that the Christ is here now, that his energy of love enfolds us all. Christ the exemplar, the grandest star, the eldest in a great family of brothers.
That's all we have time for today. Thank you very much for listening in. If you would like further information, we would recommend you check out the website, which is share-international.org. Otherwise, you're welcome to email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Love and best wishes to you all.